I'm Laura Vinroot Poole. For 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store. Capital has never really been about fashion. It's always been about people. What we wore was created to share the meaningful journeys that inspire me. From the designers and friends I meet on the road to the men and women with whom I work each day.
Everybody wants to know her name.
I just got home from market and sat down with our creative director, Scott Newkirk, to talk about what we saw this season, the mood in market during this unique time, and the positive changes that will ultimately emerge for our industry.
Well, here we are again.
Here we are
it
again.
It feels like it was not that long ago, and it's been a whole season.
Yeah.
You've just returned from Milan and then Paris.
No, I was not in Milan.
You were not in Milan.
Don't worry.
Okay, good. Stay away.
No, Milan.
Well, they won't even let you in now.
I mean, no, but Milan was canceled well before.
That's right.
It was.
I mean.
It was clear that you did not want to go there. But we will be back.
So what did you do? How did you handle that?
It was smaller appointments I missed, mm-hmm. but the biggest one was Gucci.
Right.
And Gucci held a 360 video appointments in New York. And so my team went there.
How did that feel in comparison to seeing it in person and touching things? And
I mean, it's hard. Like, you know, it's funny because my husband has been saying for a long time, you know, I go 8 times a year to Europe
right.
for buying. And Perry's been saying that this has to change. I mean, there's no way that this is, I hate to say sustainable but yeah,
right.
sustainable just for your life. For,
exactly.
I mean, certainly ecologically, you know, it's not the right thing. But really, like, personally and with my family, and it's a real strain.
I'm sure.
But it's also really hard to put our huge, actually big budgets towards things that you haven't seen in person.
Right.
Because clothing for me is so, so tactile. Everything you touch in this store feels good. And I don't think that's typical of a store. But I have touched every single piece. I've tried on every single shoe.
Right.
It's really important to me. So I do think that that would change the way our buy looked.
Do you think that this will linger after this season?
I do think it has been a big wake-up call for the industry.
Right.
And I think the bigger thing is, like, fashion shows. Like,
yeah.
do people really need to go to fashion shows? And everybody was furious about Giorgio Armani. He kept his show in the venue, but he mm-hmm. canceled all the guests. The women walked in.
And it was filmed.
And it was filmed in an empty arena or whatever it was, gallery, I mean,
right.
space. People complained that that was sort of alarmist of him. But I mean,
in retrospect now, it's
yeah.
like,
well, because you think about it, anything. You know, when you're at fashion shows, I mean, yes, you can see the styling, you can see that idea of the designers, but you can't feel the clothes.
It's energy more than anything.
Energy and things for editors to write about.
Right.
And what is the future of that? Because also there are not many magazines left.
Okay. Always I like to know sort of what was sort of a workhorse piece that you found wearing every day that was maybe unexpected or that you had planned on. Is there last year it was your Celine blazer, right?
Yeah.
Did
well,
you
notice it funny, Rochelle and I were in Paris together, and we both, the day we got there, both said, just so you know, I'll be wearing the same thing every single day because I just didn't pack anything. I think both of us were so sick of traveling
yeah.
and so sick of wearing so many layers of clothes because you're in cold, I mean, since mm-hmm. you know, September, I guess, you're in kind of cold, rainy, typically weather-changing places.
Yeah.
And so we were both really unprepared, and it rained every single day. I had a raincoat. I had an umbrella. I had the wrong shoes. I mean, I was not prepared.
That's
so I would say my Yasser shawl was really, really helpful. I had a beautiful Martin Grant raincoat that was helpful and looked pretty. But once I took that off, my clothes were hideous.
Yeah. So we are now at least a year into Brentwood.
Yes.
How does it feel now? How has that evolved, the buy and the way that you're looking at that? I mean, or do you think it's a lot different than it was in the beginning? It must be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a great way. I think it's been really eye-opening for me, and I've learned a lot and listened to clients and the sales team there. I think I'm definitely buying differently and listening to what they want, but still keeping our overall aesthetic, because I think it was something that was not in that market there.
Right.
Our feminine, a little bit more modest color.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Are there designers that you find that you're carrying there that you don't carry here or not?
Yes.
Really? There are.
Uh-huh. Well, there are designers that do better there that don't do as well here.
Sure. Yeah.
Because of climate or just the way people socialize, I think.
As far as like new emerging designers that I know is always kind of exciting for you, anyone that has risen to the top?
Yeah, well, we love an English designer named Richard Quinn.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, it was interesting. We went crazy in the showroom. Like, I've never seen anything more beautiful. It was just prints on prints on prints. And not only plissé printed skirts with turtlenecks matching, with long gloves matching, with tights and shoes matching. So you're like, just like a print.
Completely.
Yeah, except for your face. I mean, we were just so excited and posted on social media about it and didn't have as much response as I think we thought we would. And I don't know if it's because the prints didn't photograph as they are seen in reality. I don't know. It was an interesting thing because we both thought, oh my gosh, this
it's
is bananas.
Yeah.
I think it is bananas, and we've bought it for both stores. It's so
awesome.
Beautiful. But it's interesting how that IRL versus on social media.
Exactly. first season you'll have it then.
Yes.
This year.
Yeah.
Cool. Any favorite or any kind of other trends? Is it, you know, you're talking about prints. Did you find that to sort of be prevalent everywhere or colors in any way?
I think that designers were genuinely confused and scared.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I mean, I think they sort of felt this coming. I mean, obviously the collection's been designed before that, but you style it pretty close to the showtime. And there was a lot of black. There was a lot of end of time sort of feeling, Balenciaga with the venue drowning in water.
With the fire above.
Yeah. But the thing that's so interesting about, and Valentino was completely black.
Completely.
But then you go into the showrooms and what we bought from Balenciaga was so beautiful. And it was almost all hot pink.
Right.
And polka dot. And I mean, it was just so, so beautiful.
So what you see in the shows, obviously, is not everything that you're buying.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't even know
don't
that.
Realize
they
that.
See something
yeah.
else. And
I mean, shows are almost like an art show. You know, it's like
exactly.
This is my statement on what's happening in the world. But I'd like to show you some things that you can sell. You know, it's like they have to be serious and say, well, you know, pink looks beautiful in people and people have events to go to and they're not wearing end of days hooded black, you know.
Exactly.
Capes. Or maybe they are. I mean, God knows. Who knows? So, elephant in the room, COVID-19.
Yes, yes.
Should we talk about it?
I mean, you know, it's hard not to because it's just, and just even since you were there compared to today, it's just
bananas.
Gone from a tornado to a hurricane.
Yeah. For me, like, I feel like I'm about 2 weeks ahead of y'all, you know?
Right.
Like, we really experienced it in that all of the showrooms were, I mean, it was like a hazmat situation. They were, you know, it was antibacterial on every single surface, on every desk, every single surface. They had to, for the most part, watch you wash your hands before you walked in a showroom. Multiple showrooms, the models wore masks, the sellers wore masks. Yeah, but interestingly, people walking around weren't, I mean, it didn't, you know, business as usual, really, in Paris and London.
So did that translate down into the streets as well? Did you see that? Or
not
was
really.
It just kind of those public situations that you were with market?
Within the industry, the department stores blocked all of their buyers from going. And so it was pretty interesting because you had the whole showroom to yourself, which was, I must say, nice because
for
you
sure.
were able to, you didn't have these big teams of department stores, you know, taking the clothes. You could see your whole buy. You could put it on a rack and see how it would look in the store. You had more time to do things.
I
so
mean, that's ideal.
Yeah, it was
it
a little
really
bit
great.
I must say it was a little nice. Certainly hotels were empty. Restaurants were packed. The other thing too is like in this industry, I mean, I've been doing it 23 years and this is the time of what they call the fashion flu because everybody's been on the road for
right.
the last 6 months. And so your body just breaks down, and most people do get the flu. And so you're really used to not touching people, not shaking hands, bowing at people instead of, and even Ruth, our buyer who we used to work with, we were laughing the other night. We used to even pretend we were feeling flu-ish so we wouldn't have to touch people.
Everyone. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, because you just, I mean, we have 10 appointments a day. So yeah. The amount of people that you're meeting, it's exhausting and it's a lot of exposure. So really best practices of, I wash my hands quite literally 10 or 15 times a day when I was in Europe. And so if I don't die from COVID-19, I'll die from hand
dry
cancer
skin
or something.
Well, I wonder how much the precautions that people are taking and the changes in how we're communicating and greeting and all that, how much of that's going to be long-term? Like, you know, are we going to be recreating the handshake? And is it going to be, you know, a fist bump, you know, or a bow? I mean, it's
I'm fine with that.
I mean, me too.
Hey, shaking hands really is disgusting. I mean, it's like, I would much rather kiss somebody than shake their hand.
Right. Because you don't ever know where that's been.
You don't know where it's been. No,
probably the lips are cleaner.
Yes, they are.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, who knows, Scott? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't, I don't know. But I felt, it was funny to land here, and I felt pretty comfortable with all of our best practices of hygiene. And it was like, people here, the minute I got here, were trying to shake my hand. I was like, ooh, we don't do that anymore.
Same thing. I mean, we felt it at Tabor every, you know, since the last 4 days, 5 days. It's really changed. And there was the event the other night at SoCo, and it was the first time a group of people had been that big in the store since all of this, and it was considerably different.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I would like to think that there's going to be some really great, positive, and creative things that come out of this.
I definitely think there will be.
It's how you get through it.
Yeah.
National Women's Day, International Women's Day happened. Yeah. You spent some time in London.
Yeah, I stopped over in London on the way home and went to the National Portrait Gallery and to visit my favorite gallery, which is the Tudor Gallery.
Amazing. I mean, I was there with you, you know, through Instagram, and it was just beautiful.
I mean, Elizabeth I was a boss, you know.
Incredible. Yeah. The pictures were breathtaking.
She took the throne at age 25. I mean, can you imagine that? After being locked in the Tower of London, she's Anne Boleyn's daughter.
Right.
With Henry VIII. How insane is that?
It's really, really crazy.
But ruled for 44 years. She was a huge supporter of the arts. I mean, that's where Shakespeare and, you know, all of that writing comes from, that period. Spoke six languages.
Really?
Yep. And of course, I think the most important thing, she sent Sir Walter Raleigh to North Carolina.
Exactly.
To settle. But she was, something about that time, I mean, you go to the Stuart dynasty next, and those portraits don't really do anything for me. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the Tudor dynasty. Those portraits were just so beautiful. And apparently she loved her hands. And so all of her portraits have her hands figured
front and center
prominently.
Yeah.
Yep. She loved jewelry.
She sure did.
And clothes and all that ermine and all that embroidery. And I could live in those galleries.
All that embroidery also I saw at Dries.
Yes,
which was really interesting.
Absolutely.
But would there have been one artist that did all of the paintings of her, or was it several people? It was several people, I would imagine, but that's incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. But I'm really inspired by art, especially after this market, which was very tense. I needed a minute just to look at other beautiful things and take my mind out of it. I went to church in London. I went to this beautiful church in Chelsea, and I actually went to service. It was lovely. And the stained glass windows are all done by Edward Burne Jones, who was an English artist, painter.
What year do you know?
Oh my God, I can't remember. But pre-Raphaelite, 1800s, I guess. For me, I really, really need that. And especially because I usually go to Italy on the way out and wasn't able to do that. And so I just needed a minute. I need a minute to sort of gather my thoughts and
kind of come back down to normal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And leave feeling inspired.
Yes.
And not necessarily by fashion. You know,
yes.
You know, the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Well, you start, your eyes sort of start to cross. I mean, you see so much product every single day, and to sift through that, you know, it's a lot. Were there any shows that looked great to you virtually?
I loved Saint Laurent.
I loved Saint Laurent.
It was one of the most powerful ones I've seen him produce at this point. It was everything it should always be.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't do color typically, and it was all color, and it was so beautiful. The other thing, Scott, that they did was latex. Those beautiful Jabot blouses and double-breasted blazers were worn with
latex pants and skirts.
Which is what kind of made it contemporary.
It was, they were beautiful, and it was actually quite soft. Yeah. And when we bought them for the store, we won't be able to hang them because I think having them in the light, hanging, something about the air and the light will change. It will change colors. So they're
really,
they'll be sold in plastic bags.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
They were really cool.
I also, you know, again, I thought the Dries Van Noten presentation was just sick. It seems like he carried over from a lot that he learned working with
LaCroix
last season.
Yeah,
last season.
I think so. It was really joyous.
Really gorgeous.
Beautiful. A lot of embroidery. The colors, as always, just fantastically beautiful. Jewel tones and a lot of like mustards and acid green and pink. There was a lot of pink in market.
Yeah.
And I think that you see that I think people, it's like this bit of optimism. People are like, oh my God, if the world's going to end, let's do pink.
Wear pink, exactly. Let's do it. It's not going to end, though.
No, it's not. It's going to be more beautiful.
Every day. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
it's been
you
great.
So much. Thanks. What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drazda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.